Good morning. Hear the word of the Lord. The lesson for today is taken from Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.
Thank you, Errol. Okay, if you could take out your sermon outline for today, I think we're going to conclude this little mini-series on why attend church. So after this Sunday, you will have no reasons to attend church. No, I just... not the application we're looking for, okay? So the sermon outline, this is part five, why attend church. Hopefully you have something to write with to fill in the blanks, mainly on the back side. But just by way of quick review, we talked about reasons folks do not attend church, reasons why folks do attend church. There are good reasons, some questionable reasons, some bad reasons. But then we started Roman numeral number three a week or so ago, and why does everyone need to attend church as much as possible? And so we listed several reasons. That's on your backside, capital A, on the backside of your outline. The first reason we gave last week was we all need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And then capital B, we began that point saying we all need to experience more of God's love. And at the end of the sermon last week, I mentioned that there are four verses in the New Testament that command us as followers of Christ to greet one another with a holy kiss. And that's in the King James, the New IV, New International Version. So it's not just some archaic wording. It actually says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And so I concluded the message last Sunday and said, if you want to know what a holy kiss is, you have to come back today. So all of you today get to hear at least my explanation of what I believe that God means in those four verses, okay? Let's just begin with a word of prayer, okay? Let's pray together. Our Father God, thanks so much for the opportunity to worship and the fellowship, study your word, and we pray that right now we would be dependent upon your Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and to impress it upon our hearts and minds, that they might become realities in our lives, to understand and to appreciate why it's important for us to gather for worship and fellowship as often as possible. And so, Father, I thank you for each person who's here. We pray that you'll just continue to speak to us through your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is the holy kiss commanded in at least four verses in the New Testament? Well, I believe, and as many evangelical leaders believe, it's really referring to a culturally appropriate warm greeting. Okay? A culturally appropriate warm greeting. Now, it depends on which culture you're in. I mean, some cultures, a warm handshake is really what it's referring to. Maybe a little touch on the shoulder. For other cultures, perhaps more of a little hug. Now, obviously what gets interesting is when cultures, people from different cultures come together, and sometimes they have different cultural expressions of a warm greeting. And that can get a little awkward at times, but we just have to be understanding that among Christians all over the world, there are different cultures and different ways of expressing things. And here in the United States, different groups have different culturally appropriate ways of expressing their greeting. I may have shared this some time ago in a different message, but I was involved in a small Asian American church plant in the Bay Area many years ago. And our host church was a large African American church. And it was just a wonderful relationship because, I mean, they were helping this little struggling Asian American church get started. And they allowed us to use all their facilities, all their office supplies, everything. And we would meet in the afternoons, Sunday afternoons. So we would come in gathering, and then some of their folks were just leaving from their last worship service. And I learned quickly that, at least in that particular cultural group, that particular church, their cultural demonstration of an appropriate warm greeting was a hug. But not just, you know, one of these little side hugs, and a full frontal embrace. And it's kind of like, you know, that's, for some of us, you know, that felt sort of uncomfortable. But, you know, we just learned, okay, that's it. And they're just all doing it, you know, and it's not an inappropriate thing for them at all. But, you know, I guess their pastor sort of explained to them that some of us, coming from an Asian-American culture, maybe weren't as comfortable with that. And so, we'd see them coming, they'd be going like this, and they would just kind of stop. And then when I answer, thank you. Thank you for the warm handshake and just being sensitive to the fact that some of us, you know, just have different ways of expressing. But it's a warm greeting, and whatever is culturally appropriate. And those who go serve in different parts of the world as missionaries, one of the things they learn are different things about that particular culture that they're hoping to share the good news of Jesus Christ in. And so they learn. And in some parts of the world, you know, that little thing with the kiss on both sides of the cheeks for men and women, you know, just a little, like, they just have to learn to go with it and just learn that even if you're uncomfortable, you learn how to adapt to the culture in which God has led us to minister. So that's the holy kiss. Some of you might have been thinking, wow, what's he going to say? You know, the holy kiss is where you kiss each other on the cheek and you hold a Bible over your head, you know, when you're doing it. It's like, no, it is obviously an expression of warmth, a greeting. Holy in the sense that, you know, because we have this oneness in Jesus Christ. And we are sharing the very life and the vitality of who Jesus is. So it is a holy, warm greeting that is culturally appropriate. Okay? What are the two greatest commandments that Jesus talked about? When he was asked, what are the greatest commandments of all the commandments in the Old and New Testament? And the two greatest commandments, love God with your total being and love others as yourself. Right? So it's all about love, and it's all about God's love. The question is, how do you love God more? And I've mentioned this before, but that's why our church vision statement is right there on that big banner there in the purple, to better experience and share God's love. And it's based on 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. Because sometimes well-meaning Christians hear all this stuff about, oh, we should love God more, we should love other people more. So they just think, how do you do that? Just try harder? You know, try to be more loving. Well, you can try all you want, but I mean, obviously that's not the way God intended it. It's not for us to try to generate love in ourselves because we don't have that kind of love. The way that we're going to love God and love others is to experience more and more of his love for us. So that's why our relationship with God, we need to experience more of his love day by day. And that's never ending. You can never experience too much of God's love. You can never reach a point where you say, well, I've been a Christian for 50, 60, 70 years or whatever, and I've experienced so much of God's love, I have maxed out. I can't experience any more of God's love. That'll never happen. Never happen. Never happen for all eternity. It's not going to end with our lives here on earth. We're going to continue to grow in our appreciation, our experience of God's love forever. Why? Because his love is infinite. Now the question is, how do we experience more of God's love day by day? Well, that's why it's important, as much as possible, to gather on a regular basis with other Christians for worship and for fellowship. Because when we gather with other Christians, we can experience God's love in several different ways. We experience it through fellowship, because God's love flows in and through other Christians. We experience God's love through the study of his word, where in the word of God, God tells us how much he loves us. And the Spirit of God impresses those truths upon our hearts. But when we gather together, there is a special dynamic that happens. Now, I know that some well-meaning Christians say, hey, isn't God everywhere? And of course he is. Can't we worship God anywhere? Yes, we can. We should be in a state of worship everywhere, 24/7? Yes, exactly. So what's so special about gathering for church, for worship service? And when Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. He says, well, what does he mean by that? I thought Jesus said he's everywhere, anywhere. Everywhere, especially dwelling within every single believer, every single Christian. But then Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there is a special experience of his presence that is not true when we're by ourselves. Whenever two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, focused on him, to worship him, to live for him, there is a special, unique, mystical, supernatural, spiritual experience of the presence of God that we cannot get by ourselves. And that truth is so important, because otherwise you can say, yeah, you know, you don't need to come to church. I mean, just stay at home, you know, just worship in your own home by yourself and whatever. And you say, you know, why bother coming to church? Because gathering at church is a special spiritual dynamic and experience that even with all the modern technology, you know, and it's wonderful to use all those things, especially when you can't be at church. You know, we listed all kinds of good reasons why people cannot gather for church. And those are times when using electronic stuff is great. Watch, you know, on the web, watch different, listen to podcasts, all kinds of great resources. But they are to supplement church, never substitute church. So as God gives us the opportunity and enables us to gather together for worship and fellowship, it's so important because we can experience more of God's love when we gather together. Capital C in your outline, not only does everyone need, you know, attend church as much as possible? Capital A, we all need encouragement. Capital B, we need to experience more of God's love. Capital C, we all need to worship the Creator God of the universe. That's capital C to write in the blank. We all need to worship the Creator God of the universe. There's a verse that's not in your notes, but if you want to jot down the reference, feel free. It's Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read it for us. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That's Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Why should we gather for worship? Because he is the Creator God of the universe. He created every single one of us. And he created us for a purpose, to have an intimate relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ. And then to live for him and to honor him and to praise him and to collectively gather to worship him. There's a passage, another passage in Philippians that some of you have heard before, but if you want to jot down the reference, feel free. We're not going to turn there, but Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Actually, if you could help bring that one up, that'd be great, Joe. Sorry. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's well worth turning there if you have your Bibles. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And some of you remember these epistles or letters written by the Apostle Paul. There's a little series of them. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And the way to remember the order is the little expression, Gentiles eat pork chops. Okay. Gentiles eat pork chops. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Say, okay. Don't say you didn't leave church today without learning something. Learn Gentiles eat pork chops. Okay, well, if you remember that, okay, so what? I mean, just remember that means Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Okay, Gentiles eat pork chops. All right, in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. "Therefore God exalted him," referring to Jesus, "God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." Verse 10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." God is saying basically, you know, Jesus is worthy of worship from the entire universe, and that's going to happen at some point, whether people like it or not. Every knee's going to bow. It's not happening today, obviously. We can choose to worship him and bow the knee. But there's going to come a time when people are going to bow the knee and they're not going to have any choice. And it's important for us as followers of Christ to get used to the idea of worshiping God and worshiping Jesus, because that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. And we have the privilege of doing it by choice because we have experienced his love and his grace and his forgiveness. And I trust that our hearts and our lives would desire to bow the knee and to worship the Almighty God because of all that he's done for us, because of who he is. He is the Creator God of the universe, but you know, the fact that that's fact alone should be enough for us to want to worship him with our total being 24/7. But the additional fact is he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. And so he created us. He also redeemed us. He purchased us with the blood of his only son. And so by way of creation, by way of redemption, he deserves all my worship. Not just once a week. You know, we gather for church, for worship. But like I said before, God does desire our worship and our praise 24/7. Wherever we might be, at work, at home, in our neighborhoods, at school, we can actually be mindful of his presence and be thankful that the Almighty God is our Heavenly Father. See, I know we're obviously busy at work and we have things that we have to focus on. Sure. So you say, well, how can you also think about God? Well, we can develop this mindset where no matter what I'm doing, even driving, working, at school, listening to the teacher, whatever, and obviously those are things God wants us to be doing, but we can also be mindful of his presence and thank him. And as Ted was sharing earlier, you know, having a spirit of thankfulness, of gratitude. Like you said, work can be tough. And I know a number of you have gone through some very difficult situations over recent years. You know, losing employment, not even sure where your next job is going to be. And so we're thankful for the jobs. It can get difficult. It can be trying. It can be challenging. Not just at work, at home, neighborhoods, extended family. A lot of different situations that are difficult. But if we develop a spirit of awareness that God is present and that we can be thankful, even in spite of the challenges and problems, we can be thankful that we're never alone and that we can draw upon his love and his grace and his wisdom in walking through difficult situations. Remember Psalm 23, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's there with us. His power, his protection, his love, his grace, his care. And of course, it's our human nature. We want to be delivered from the valley. We want to get out of there as fast as possible. That's perfectly normal. But sometimes God chooses to just allow us to continue walking because he wants us to depend on him and know that he's always there and he'll never fail us. We may go through those difficult times, but we'll have opportunities to still worship him and to thank him because he's the Almighty God and he's always there. Capital D in your outline. Not only do we need to experience more encouragement and God's love, we need to worship him as a creator God, but capital D, we all need to learn and live God's word. Learn and live God's word. Now, obviously, we are to be reading and studying the word of God as often as possible on our own, you know, again, 7 days a week. It's not just once a week at church. But at church, hopefully, we have this opportunity, attending Sunday school, attending worship service for the sermons, and as others are taking the opportunity midweek, you know, for Bible studies, it's a great opportunity to study God's word and to learn more of his will for our lives. As I said before, studying the word of God is important in order to experience more of his love. And, you know, we try to emphasize that it's not just for an academic, intellectual experience. That was much of my early Christian experience when I was a college student. In the seminary and even my early years of ministry, many times my totality of my Christian life and experience was very academic. It was just study the Word of God, which is important, but there was very little emphasis on the application, on how the Word of God is supposed to permeate our being, you know, our attitudes, our mindset, as well as our behavior, our values, and just treating it like this is a very intellectual experience. Now, that's a huge mistake. Huge mistake. You say, is it possible somebody to actually know the Bible really, really well and know very little of a personal relationship with the living God? It's absolutely possible. It's a tragedy. It happens to people in ministry. It happens to a lot of well-meaning Christians. But we study the Word of God in order to experience more of God's love, the reality of who he is, that might become a part of who we are, transforming our lives to become more and more like Jesus. There's a passage in Psalm 119, verse 105. Some of you have heard this before. We don't need to turn there, but Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Because all of us have situations in life where we're kind of perplexed. I mean, there's different choices, different options, and sometimes we don't even know what the options are. And we need direction. We need help. We need guidance. And the Word of God can help us with that. Now, the Word of God doesn't always have a specific answer. Which job should I take? You know, which way to go in this decision or that decision? But the principles that God provides for us, the principles of living a life that is honoring and pleasing Him. You know, many times we're going to make decisions and there's not going to be one absolute right answer. And by walking with Jesus and being in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to permeate our hearts and our minds, many times we'll just make decisions that are based on God's wisdom. And there's no one right answer. It's a matter of just desiring to honor Him, to please Him with our hearts, and God knows our hearts. Okay? So, I mean, sometimes Christians get all perplexed and get all sort of wound up and anxious because they say, well, I want to know God's perfect will for this one particular decision. And it's not always like that. I mean, sometimes there are choices that God presents to us. And, you know, we just follow godly wisdom. But how do you get that wisdom? We got to be in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God to study, to live it out, to apply it, to share it with others. And that's a whole lifelong process. Another passage you can jot down besides Psalm 119, verse 105. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let's go ahead and pull that one up, if you could. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 16 and 17. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can take out one of the brown pew Bibles in front of you, and we'll find a page number for that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This will be real helpful. 2 Timothy, it's right after 1 Timothy. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It's on page 1179 in the brown Bible. Right at the lower right-hand corner, okay? So you can look in your Bible, you can look at the PowerPoint. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Probably one of the most helpful passages in the New Testament about the importance of Scripture, the Word of God. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Verse 17. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Go back to verse 16 again, please. All Scripture is God-breathed. So the word literally means it is His breath coming out of His mouth. I don't know how this happened, but somehow in the English we use the word the inspiration. But that's, you know, that's kind of like breathing in, you know, but this is more like expiration. It's God's breath coming out. It is His Word that's coming out of the mouth of God. And the Scripture that God has preserved for us, you know, throughout these thousands and thousands of years, the Old and New Testament, many times, you know, we talk about this in our Bible study, and I'm sure in the other Bible study groups they do this as well. Monday, Wednesdays, you know, Wednesdays for women, Mondays just men and women with Stan leading it, and Tuesday nights the men's Bible study. But, you know, sometimes we're talking about things in the Scripture, and once in a while we stop and we say, you know, some of these stories, some of these things that God's telling us in the Old and New Testament, you think, wow, the transparency of what is recorded for us. Now, everybody's heard before about our history books in our American public schools and whatever. You know, this is true in every nation. Written by people, history books tend to reflect a certain bias, right? I mean, nations kind of, you know, fudge on things that they aren't real proud about, you know, so they sort of disappear off their history books. Well, in the Old Testament, we have to remember, it's true, God used different human groups, and you got the Israelites, and their history is marked with some of the most incredible spiritual highs, you know, for the glory of God, and yet some of the worst, darkest moments, and yet it's all recorded for us in the Old Testament. And now, if it's just written by people, the Israelites want to record stuff in the Old Testament, they would do some fudging. You know, King David, one of the greatest kings in their history, wouldn't have committed adultery and murder. I mean, that's kind of like, wow, really? But God has recorded for us His Word, given through human agents, Old and New Testament, and yet it is the very Word of God. And the transparency and the reality of it is just amazing. So you think, okay, it's not proof. You can't prove the Bible is the Word of God. But that's one line of evidence to say to people, why do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, here's something to think about. If it were just a human book, you really think they'd record all that stuff? You know, it's like, because God is the one superintending over the scriptures, Old and New Testament, to record for us the highs and the lows, the reality, because that's the reality of life. And God is communicating his truth to us. Study the Word of God. We gather together for that. All of us need to do that more. We need the encouragement, the sharing. And then finally, capital E, we all need to serve and minister to one another. One another. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. What if we pull that one up on the PowerPoint, please? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I think I may have mentioned this before, because sometimes when we talk about people missing church, and I mentioned, the concern, 5.5 years I've been here at CCC, I think one of the biggest concerns I've had, I've shared it with the consistory, the board members, is that over the 5 years, there have been folks who were, at one time, they were relatively regular in attending church here on Sundays, and for whatever reason, a whole host of reasons, a lot of folks have been just sort of, slipping away. And the concern I would have here is that when we talk to folks like this, it's not just, certainly we don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip. It's not like, where were you? We've been, you haven't been at church. But it's like, we miss you. We miss you. And then this verse, I think, explains a little bit about why when folks miss church, it's not just that they're missing something by not being here. I think that's true. But we all miss something when they're not here. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As we teach and admonish one another. It's not just the preacher teaching and admonishing the congregation. It's the Christian body of Christ, the family of God, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. There is very much a dynamic that happens in a church family, a healthy church family, where it's not built around one or two people, but it's really the church family, the congregation. And as I said before, there are some of these huge churches around the country. I'm not so sure how healthy they really are, because if you just take one or two key individuals out, and if a third of their people don't show up after that, it's like, what happened? I mean, one or two individuals might be very important, they're very gifted, and God's using them, fantastic. But for some reason, they're not there. What happens to the church? And I honestly believe that this church family has a much healthier understanding and experience of what it means to be a church. And I know I've joked about, when I'm gone for vacation or whatever, I come back in a few weeks and, some folks are like, oh, were you gone? really? Oh, we didn't even notice you were gone. I was like, oh, okay, well. And as a minister, I talk to other minister friends, and we joke about it. We say, that's kind of, you have these weird, paradoxical kind of feelings when you're gone, right? On the one hand, you want things to go smoothly. You want other people that know how to minister, and they're taking care of everything. On the other hand, you don't want things to go so smoothly that it's kind of like, oh, they didn't even know you were gone. Like, okay, well, we want to have a sense that I'm a part of the church family, and yes, people might notice I'm not here, but you know what? If something happened to me, and I don't take anything for granted, every day is a gift from God, this church would be fine. This church, when folks come here and people testify what drew them to the church, what kept them, what was a blessing in the church, it's the church family. It's all the folks who are experiencing and sharing God's love. That's so important. And that's a healthy church. That's why when folks don't come to church, we miss them. We all miss them. We miss out in the interaction as a church family. And so, when we do have opportunities of talking to folks that we know that haven't been in church for a while, and you say, well, it's kind of awkward. What do you say? Well, you say, we've missed you. We've missed you. And, it really would be encouraging to all of us just to see you, and you can come back again, and love to see you on Sunday worship. We have different fellowship groups that are kind of outreach-oriented as part of the church family, and we extend invitations there. The Hula and Ukulele Fellowships, when I share devotional little talks with them, I always include an invitation, youth meetings, and anything that we do, the Fall Festival coming up next month, great opportunity. Now, again, we're not trying to just build up a church. We're trying to help people to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't have a church family. They're certainly welcome here. Everyone, regardless of their differences. And that's one of the things we really appreciate about what God's doing here, is the growing diversity that exists. Our Tuesday night men's Bible study is one example of that. It's been such a blessing to see the diversity that God has brought in. That ends the series on why go to church. And next week, we'll talk a little bit about what is the meaning of baptism. And that'll be leading right up into our baptism service with Josh. Okay? So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father God, thanks again for how you provide for all of our needs and desires as we desire to experience more of your love day by day and to share that love with others. And you've provided us with a church family that we can be a part of, that we can grow together, that we can encourage one another. And Father, I pray that as we have opportunity of talking to other folks who have been a part of the extended church family here, and haven't been attending for a while, I pray that you'll just help us to be able to share your love in a very tangible way, to express to them how much we miss them and how much we desire to see them back as much as possible. And Father, thank you again for how you do bless us through these times of worship and fellowship together. We give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm the bench hitter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, for the good sermon that we've heard. We pray that we'll take it to our lives and live by it. We also ask, Heavenly Father, that you continue blessing this church as you have in the past. And we have so much to be thankful for, Heavenly Father. We know that a lot of us have more than we need, and we should share that. And if we don't have enough, we should talk to each other and that we might share with each other. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all the blessings you give us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Desire and I long to worship. stand for the doxology.
Worship service. We have the sharing of praises and prayer requests, and a couple of praises I'd like to share. First of all, Pastor Dwayne, this is your first Sunday morning with us, or have you? Okay, why don't you stand? This is Pastor Dwayne. He's on the pastoral staff at Boss, Bayside of South Sacramento, and he's been such a blessing in our Tuesday night men's Bible study for this past year. So really, really blessing to have Pastor Dwayne. Okay. All right, and also just some real praises about answered prayer for a number of folks we've been praying for this past year, and certainly seeing Phyllis's sister Peggy and Kevin back there with us. It's always great to see them. I'd like to stand. Kevin's looking, you're looking good, so it's looking great. It's always good to have you in church, but especially to see how well you're looking, and we praise God for that. So continue to pray for God's complete healing. So. And then also, this past week, we have been praying for Molly's husband, Bob. He had back surgery a couple of weeks ago, but then there was a serious infection. And, you know, Molly explained this to me after church this past Sunday that, you know, they almost lost Bob. And so it's been a very, very difficult time the last couple of weeks, but he's made an amazing recovery. Bob is 90 years old, but he's been recovering at the Sutter Rehab facility up in Roseville. And had the opportunity of just taking Molly up to see him on Tuesday and Wednesday, and he's coming home tomorrow. He's coming home, so just praise God for that. Yeah. So just really praise the Lord for watching over Bob and Molly. Kathy Pang's husband is recovering from cancer as well, and we also praise God that Joey's cancer surgery this past Friday went very well, and we'll probably see her very soon. But just pray that she'll get the rest she needs, and that there'll be just a complete, speedy recovery. Okay? So let's just have a time of silent prayer. Now, last several weeks, we've tried to just introduce just a 30-second silent prayer. And again, with all the things going on around the world, certainly, you know, there's at least been some encouragement. The situation in Ukraine and Russia, there's a very shaky truce right now. Gaza Strip, same thing, but you know, these things are very shaky, and there's all kinds of violations going on. But the whole thing with the terrorist group, this ISIS group, and their public executions, and we need to pray for our leaders as well as the world leaders in their response. We do believe that that God's justice warrants sometimes the use of force. But we want to also pray that God will grant his wisdom in knowing how to respond in a manner which is not going to just make things even worse in terms of escalation and other situations. So let's remember to pray for that, and just pray for about 30 seconds, and then I'll lead us after that time. But let's just pause and just pray about any of the different situations you know of in the world, whether they be domestic, this whole St. Louis suburb situation, Ferguson, and things just keep happening to increase the tension there, but also around the world. So just pause for a moment of silent prayer and pray as you feel led, and then I'll close in about 30 seconds, okay? Our Father God, we do thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence collectively for worship, for study of your word, for fellowship. And Father, we want to unite our hearts in praying for difficult situations around the world where your peace is so absent. But we think of the military and armed conflicts happening in the Ukraine and with Russia, and also in the Gaza Strip, and the terrorist groups that are unfortunately committing such horrible acts of violence. Pray for the victims' families. And we pray for our leaders of our nation, as well as many other nations around the world, as they consider what kind of response and how to go about it. We pray for your wisdom. And we pray, Father, for your justice. And Father God, thank you so much for answering prayer concerning some of our folks, and we just are so glad and just rejoicing together to see Kevin here with us and looking so healthy and energetic. And we just thank you for answering prayer for his battle with cancer, but also for Kathy Pang and just watching over her husband as he recovers from his cancer. And Father God, thank you so much for watching over our sister Joey and her surgery this past Friday. We do pray for a complete and speedy recovery. And Father, we do thank you for watching over Molly's husband, Bob. And thank you so much that even though he was so close to just being gone, that you brought him back. And even though he's 90, that he's recovering very well and able to come home tomorrow. And so we just rejoice with Molly and their whole family. And Father God, thank you that we can thank you for, praise you for all these different ministries of the church. The Fall Festival meeting last Sunday that went so well, and the introduction to the new Sunday school year, and the welcome that that was, and also for the youth meeting this past Friday night. And thank you, Father, that we can pray as a church family for those who've lost loved ones this past year and recent months. We pray for your encouragement and your comfort. And we also pray for those continuing in a struggle with cancer, Grace's sister-in-law, and for Leslie Wagner, and for just others that we know from our church family, and for other physical struggles and situations that we are concerned about, for Mario's brother, Edwin, down in Southern California, for Terry and Jan's daughter, for Hardy Wong, who's recovering from an aneurysm, and just others with different physical challenges. We pray again for your healing and your protection. And Father God, thank you so much for all of our students, many of whom have returned to school already, others about to. We pray for, especially for those who started at new schools and their adjustment. We think of this young lady, Kathy, who's been a part of our church family in recent months, and for her move to the East Coast and just not knowing anybody there. And we just pray that she'll get connected to a Christian fellowship and church as soon as possible. And Father, thank you for our monthly Bible study that we'll meet next week after church. Thank you for the special baptism service with our younger brother Josh, and for his testimony and his desire to be baptized. And we thank you for our fellowship groups. We pray for them as they go out today, the hula and ukulele fellowship groups, and that you'll just work through them to bring your love and joy to others. And Father, thank you for the golf tournament that happens today. We pray that that would be a great time of fellowship and sharing together. We also thank you for the new basketball program season that's starting up, and for their board meeting later this Wednesday, and for our own church board meeting this coming Thursday. Again, we just thank you again for all these folks who are involved in different aspects of the ministry, involved and active in different areas of service, that we can experience and share your love together. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.